Fighters, if you are a sales professional in the construction industry, I want to invite you to go to thecontractorfight.com/salespro. This will take you to our free Facebook group, Contractor Sales Pros. That's a place where you can ask questions, share strategies and best practices to help each other grow and get better as salespeople in the construction industry. So don't miss an opportunity to get better. Every single one of us has room to grow. So head to thecontractorfight.com/salespro.
Hey, Fighters. Welcome to Friday Fails. Now, growing up, I'm in that generation of where my mom would throw us out of the house after breakfast and tell us to come back at dinner time, mainly because instead of my brothers and I hanging around fucking up her world, she preferred to cast us off into the greater society to let us fuck up their world instead. And that inevitably led to a lot of hooligan type activities. And one that jumped out to me today was my friends and I were trying to get people to stop on this main road thinking that we had some hideous bike accident. So kind of paint the picture here. My town was on top of a hill. There was a big, like a 50-mile-an-hour road coming out of town, kind of a sweeping right-hand turn where another, where it's kind of an intersection with a cross street. And there was this big grassy area there. So you really couldn't see this intersection until you were coming around the bend, giving us plenty of time to set up a ruse because between waves of cars coming from the stoplight at the top of the hill. So my buddies and I had this great idea of staging a bike accident. We're all BMX rats. So we, you know, growing up, you always come ripping down this fucking hill at full speed and then trying to stop at the intersection, usually eat shit in the grass on the side. But let's try and get some reaction, we thought. So my friends kind of laid their bikes on their side. We're just laying in the grass and wave after wave of cars were going past us and to no avail. And I kind of had this early vision of marketing differentiation. I think I was 8 or something at this time. And I was like, we need to spice things up a little bit to get some eyeballs. So instead of just laying there motionless in the grass, we got my friends, we got tangled up in our bike frames, legs sticking through the frames, bike upside down on top of another kid, all this stuff. And then we got the wheels spinning. And lo and behold, the first wave of cars coming down the street from the stoplight all came to a screeching halt. We got like a dozen cars stopping, running over to see if we're all okay. And as you can imagine, when we all started bursting out laughing, we got a fucking riot act read to us. Then, and again at home, because one of the people stopping was one of my dad's business partners. So there's a lesson in be careful what you ask for. But I'm bringing this up today because lately, given all the economic fuckery, I'm noticing an absolute flood of new contractors in my town. And this isn't some whine about lowballers or any of this shit. No, my point today is that all of these guys look absolutely interchangeable. They've all got the white van with some variation of dripping paint logo. They all offer the same, you know, residential, commercial, interior, exterior, free estimates, fully insured bullshit written on the side of the van. Like, it's just copy and paste. Like, they all went to the same ad agency or something like that, which kind of like is reinforced by the fact they're actually in town, right? Because like half the contractors are displacing or coming in. We all look the same, or most of them look the same. And so that's why these clowns are in town anyway. And as I think about this and the need to be disruptive, started just thinking about marketing. You know, when I think of disruptive marketing, I go right to like Geico. You know, when they first came out with that little fucking lizard logo, that was really unique in the insurance game. You know, insurance ads back then. I'm fucking old, so maybe you kids don't even remember this era. But, you know, like State Farm used to always be like after a house fire or a tornado or a car accident, a little white adjuster car would pull up with like a fucking blanket and a concerned look on his face and just make people feel safe and better or whatever. And then here comes this little smartass lizard, completely, you know, disjointed, unattached to insurance itself. And it started this huge buzz. And now look at the insurance industry, right? Like, I think State Farm now has that character mayhem or whatever it is. It's just going around fucking up people's world, illustrating the fact that shit happens and you may want insurance for stuff like that. And so there's kind of three ways I would suggest going into these more trying times that you try to be a little disruptive, try to make yourself more identifiable, more unique in the marketplace. The first starts with what you actually stand for, right? Like, what is your brand promise? How are you different? Is it your customer service? Is it, you know, the customer experience that they get? Is it some unique trade-oriented skill that you have that nobody else has. You know, the riches and the niches and all the stuff we talk about here. Don't be a generalist, be a specialist. Also, it's like how you look. Like, yeah, we could talk about the aforementioned Vans and that type of thing. But it could go beyond that. You know, for years, some of my crews wore straw fedoras in the summertime. You know, it gets fucking really hot here. So they needed something for shade instead of wearing the typical, you know, bucket hats or baseball hats and stuff like that. We went to Walmart and bought this just giant stack of straw fedoras. And we were known all around town and the area as like the crew that wore fedoras. And it was just kind of, people loved it. It was, you could tell us from a mile away, guys on a ladder, that it was a Sherwood crew. That was a great just identifier. People would actually call me up like, you guys are the ones with fedoras, right? I'm like, yep. And so it's things like that, you know, whether it's your company shirts, whatever you're doing, just stand out from the crowd so you don't feel like you're interchangeable, so they don't drive by your job site and then 2 days later see another sign and think that was the company they saw. And then finally, think about your marketing, not just like in the Geico sense, but where are you putting your marketing? You know, years ago, I did really well with direct mail, and then the digital age came around. And so I kind of jumped in that as a, on the more early adopter side of it. And just for the record, I'm under no circumstances saying abandon this, not saying don't do social, don't do website, don't do any of this stuff. I'm just saying, look at that market now. Like, it is flooded. I get constant just ads presented to me on all my screens for contractors and shit. And even when I search myself on Google, it's just like, it's just, you're lost in the digital sea at this point. And so what I'm personally doing in my business is I'm returning to direct mail to augment my digital presence and just being really targeted with it. Because what I've noticed over the last probably 4 years is that my mailbox once was cluttered with contractor postcards and sales letters and all of this crap. And lately, I mean, kind of watching it this summer, very few. I got like Anderson Renewal, and I got my buddy who got me started in contracting and turned me on to direct mail, who's never turned it off. Those are the only real contractor marketing I get in the mailbox. So I'm going back to it because I know that it'll be a lot easier to get eyeballs. I know it'll stand out a lot more than somebody getting on their smartphone and just scrolling through endless fucking listings of painting contractors that they don't know what's going on. So just some thoughts as we go into this next week. Thanks for joining us on Friday Fails. See you next week.